man. What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, I'm Walter Sterling. We are live on a Sunday night, live. If you are driving right now, especially on the East Coast, pay attention. We will have complete and continuous weather coverage for you, plus your conversation about the escape routes from Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, everything that makes us a community. John Weatherby, staff meteorologist, give us an update.
Happy to. Record-setting major Hurricane Dorian is now approaching Grand Bahama Island, northwest Bahamas, with 185-mile-an-hour winds, a strong Cat 2, slowly moving to the west at 5. It will take all night for Dorian to walk the length of Grand Bahama Island, if you want to think of that way. It lines up east to west to make it a free port at the other end. There is total devastation occurring tonight in the Bahamas, and it's only 155 miles east of West Palm Beach, Florida. Important points tonight. It's stalling. It will slow down, and maybe it'll be 50 miles over the next 2 days before it actually starts moving again and heading up the coast. We still don't know where it's going to go exactly. It could be a major, it will be a major hurricane, but it could be near landfall or actually making Florida landfall. Popular theory right now is staying off the coast. There's also a lot of information regards to the wind field, how large it is. If, for example, Dorian ends up maybe 50 miles away from the Florida coast, hurricane force winds now extend 35 miles, but tropical storm force winds extend out 140 miles. So officials, emergency management officials, have started evacuation orders. Today they started in Florida. Georgia will start tomorrow at noon. That hasn't been announced yet. You're hearing it here first. And South Carolina will start their mandatory evacuations by Tuesday. It looks like it will be a Wednesday-Thursday passage, Georgia to South Carolina, with the storm actually getting closer to Myrtle Beach by Wednesday evening, Thursday. We'll get an update on that less than an hour away from now at 11, and we'll have that for you live. But we do want to make sure you understand that the cone of uncertainty regarding Major Hurricane Dorian is huge, affecting 83 million people all the way up to New Jersey. So as Walter says, pay attention. This could impact and affect you. It will impact the transportation systems across the country for Labor Day tomorrow, and especially starting the short work week on Tuesday. Orlando has already announced they're closing their airport tomorrow. I expect to hear more closures for coastal airports as we go through the week ahead. Walter, this is a mess, and folks need to be ready to take action and be prepared.
All right. Well, what happens on other shows and on annoying television shows is a great meteorologist like you gives a report, and then nothing happens. In fact, I want to give you the opportunity to talk to John Weatherby. Ask your questions ask your questions of a meteorologist. Questions you have for a meteorologist. Ask the meteorologist whatever question you may have, specific to where you live or whatever you want to ask John about. My number is 888-688-9258. Yes, this is a live radio show, an actual radio show at 888-688-WALT. If you're evacuating, I especially would like to talk with you. You're getting screwed by hotels, getting screwed by gas stations. This is the information that we want to share. Different routes, alternate routes. This is the information we want to share. And if you have questions for a meteorologist, I'm from now on going to call you a weatherman because I can't pronounce that. If you have a question for a weatherman, John Weatherby is on the phone, live, ready to answer your questions about the hurricane at 888-688-WALT. We have reporters standing by throughout America to give us updates on situations throughout America. God, you know, I sound like it's my first time on the radio. Let's start with Jay in Orlando. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how are you?
It's great. Now, you're in Orlando. Is it evacuated? Are people nervous or scared? What's the mood? What's the feeling in Orlando, Florida, Jack?
Well, I think frustration is probably the mood, and I think frustration is the mood up and down the Florida coast, or for that matter, the East Coast. I note that you have a meteorologist on the air with you, and the reality here is that you have a lot of tracks, but nobody really knows where this thing is going. And because of that, and because it's been so long, I mean, we've been hearing about this now for a week, I think everybody's a little bit dumbstruck. That said, as soon as it became a five, things began to happen a little bit differently here. And I think now there's some fear and some definite, not so much in Orlando as on the coast, obviously. But, I think people are apprehensive at this point in time and are beginning to take this thing very, very seriously.
They've shut the Orlando airport. That was just announced.
That's
Have
correct.
They shut Disney World? Have they shut Epcot?
Not yet. My guess is, what they're saying is they're going to be watching the forecasts, and they'll let pretty much everyone know tomorrow, probably tomorrow morning.
Jay in Orlando, are you going to evacuate? Are you going to take your family out of Florida?
No, I don't think so. I'm in Orlando, which is quite a ways, as you know, quite a ways away from the coast, per se. And, a lot of the tracks, if this thing stays out on the ocean, then, we can breathe a sigh of relief here. But 50 miles either way can make a big difference. And if it comes in, then at that point in time, I think our coasts are going to get whacked pretty hard. And we're going to have, some heavy-duty winds.
Jay, thank you very much for calling in from Orlando, Florida, with that update. To Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Finally, you get to talk to the weatherman. John Weatherby is on the line with you. Bill, listening on WMAL, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Weatherby, thanks for all you do,
yes,
keeping
sir.
Us informed.
Yes, sir.
The big question at this point is, what we all need to know is, do you think, where is this going to land in Florida?
I don't think it's going to land in Florida at all. Let me go back to Jay's point from Orlando real quickly. We have not been able to identify the exact landfall yet. In fact, WMAL is on the left edge of the cone of uncertainty coming up Friday at the end of the week. You're included in this discussion as well. There's a real problem trying to understand what's steering this hurricane, this major hurricane, and what a direction and intensity it's going to have. We certainly know the results of the hurricane by looking at the Grand Bahama Islands tonight. The Bahamian Islands, Northwest Bahama Islands, are just being hammered. And Jay's frustration is very important to note. I understand that. I understand that thoroughly, because he's right. We've been talking about that forever. But now, with your question, I'm not sure it's ever going to make landfall. If it does, the best chance is the Outer Banks of North Carolina late Thursday into Friday. I think it stays away from Washington, D.C. I don't think it's a problem for you at all. But at the moment,
you're under
the cone of
And I got a second important question.
Fire away.
Do you think Bonnie Snyder is a hot piece of tail?
Stop it.
888-688-WALT, your question for John Weatherby, the weatherman, and your hurricane questions. All of that and you coming up in just seconds. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke. Sterling on Sunday now presents It's Boner Time.
Oh, my gosh. There's nothing more arousing than a hurricane. No, really. If you've ever been in a hurricane, everybody gets horny. I can't explain it, but it's true. Finally, you can have the boner you want when you want it. A boner on demand, like the good old days, a couple years ago. Every guy over 30 has trouble from time to time, but you don't have to. Now that medicine, which used to cost $400, well, guess what? I negotiated with a company called 4HIMS, H-I-M-S, F-O-R-H-I-M-S, forhims.com/Walter. And here's the price I got for you for the generic boner medicine. It's free. Just go to forhims.com/Walter. Try forhims for a month for just $5. And we'll get you started. The $5 for while the supply lasts. Prescription products are subject to a doctor approval. You know, I have to put on these other glasses. That's the real challenge here. How many different glasses does Walter need to do this show? Prescription products require doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician. We'll determine the prescription is appropriate for you. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds. If you went in person to a doctor, office, or pharmacy, go to forhims.com/Walter. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, top rated among the obese.
Be a weatherman available for questions for you. These TV shows, these annoying radio shows, they have weathermen on, but they never let you talk to the weatherman. Here's John Weatherby, a major meteorologist. We can't even imagine what it takes to become a meteorologist, and he will answer any questions you may have about the hurricane and the situation that's coming up this week, which is major troublesome. Here's my number, 888-688-WS. Yes, I'm live. That's right. You can call in now. It's not the Gold Show. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Matt, listening in Philadelphia. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Yeah. Hello, sir. How are you?
Sir, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, I'm in Atlantic City, New Jersey, but I spent 10 years in Florida. And my brother's down there now, right in Jensen Beach, which is pretty much the crosshairs, what they're saying now, of this storm. But I was, my question to you is, if this thing makes a hook up north and just hugs the coast or something and goes toward the Carolinas or something, I think Florida might fare pretty good. I mean, there's going to be tree limbs down, there's going to be power outages, we know that. Unless this thing comes straight, I'm a lifelong hunter fisherman, and we watch the weather all the time, my brother and I. My brother's a professional inshore captain, fishing guide, and Florida should fare well unless it comes slamming straight in, like Andrew did.
Yep.
That was bad.
Yep.
That was bad.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The difference between Florida and, like, say, Katrina in Louisiana, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're the expert. Florida has pretty much a sandy bottom, and the water runs off pretty good. It can take rain. It's used to taking rain. Louisiana has, like, a muddy bottom, and plus it has the Mississippi coming down.
What's the question, Matt? Matt, do you have a question?
Yes. Do you think if it hugs the coast and hooks up north, that Florida will be... the other gentleman you were talking to in Orlando, I think he's going to be just fine. But do you think if it hugs the coast and goes up north, it'll be all right other than some power outages?
Matt, I love the way you tried to get to your question quickly. We appreciate that. You're describing it as a true fisherman. You're right. The limestone and sand of Florida usually handles water pretty well. Katrina 92 came straight across South Florida, came right straight through and had a storm surge over 20 feet. The damage was incredible, and of course the damage later in Louisiana. A great comparison in 95 with that storm. I think that Dorian stays offshore. I guess I also hope that Dorian stays offshore, but we also realize that that's a real possibility that it makes a landfall. So the National Hurricane Center has posted hurricane warnings up to the east central portion of the Atlantic coast of Florida just as a precaution. There's even a tropical storm watch for Lake Okeechobee. This could possibly graze the coast. It could possibly stay off the coast. It could make a brief landfall coming in and then coming back out, back into the Atlantic, say south of Jacksonville. Those are all scenarios that are possible. If it's not a direct hit, as you described it, Matt, it will not be as disastrous. And yeah, Jay earlier in Orlando, I think he's going to be just fine. But your brother along the coast has got some real concerns here because a little wobble and there's a big problem, Walter.
Well, now, John Weatherby, one of the things that's difficult in any weather situation is when weathermen give us weather possibilities. Weather
yep.
possibilities are not actionable. So what I need to hear is, what does John Weatherby think is going to happen?
John Weatherby thinks that Dorian will stay offshore and be destructive to the Florida coast in the way that Matt described it, with tree limbs, some down power lines. I think it's going to be disruptive to the entire week across Florida because of the destructive action that may happen from this storm. A storm that's moving so slowly now, but by Tuesday will start to pick up speed and actually move the length of Florida Tuesday afternoon to Wednesday afternoon, which is a big difference from what it's doing now.
What do you think will happen in Georgia?
Well, I think it will miss Georgia, but I'll tell you this, I've got family in Savannah and they're evacuating tomorrow.
And what do you think will happen in South Carolina?
I think Dorian will be closer to South Carolina. I think Charleston and Myrtle Beach, the northern portion of the South Carolina coast, are most at risk, along with the coast of North Carolina out to the Outer Banks. Once this gets by the Outer Banks, I don't think we have any problems. There are several computer models that think that's possible.
No, I don't care what's possible. I want to know what John Weatherby says.
I know. I wish John Weatherby knew. John Weatherby gives you an etiquette.
Now, if it doesn't hit land, what does it do to the ocean?
A couple of things. It brings up cooler water. That's called upwelling, which actually, as the storm slows down, will probably weaken the storm over the next 24 hours. It also mixes and takes a lot of that energy. Hurricanes are fed by warm ocean waters. They are warm cored storms. That's why when they get over land, they start to weaken and fall apart. They no longer have their energy source. So there's an incredible churning that's going on through the first several or 10, 20 feet of the ocean. But you're 100 feet down, you don't even know what's going by. Unless there's a big wave that's associated with it in some fashion. It's really remarkable how Mother Nature makes this work.
John Weatherby, meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. John, we'll be back at the top of the next hour, and I thank you very much for being available to actually answer questions, which for some reason never happens. Why is that you're never put on the phone with a listener? It's a very strange thing. And then those horrible weathermen on TV, they're just terrible. To watch some of them, if the anchor throws them a question, they're in trouble. Why is that nobody can ad lib, John? Why is that?
They're not radio guys.
Yes, only radio guys. No, it's true. It's true. You can tell the difference on TV if somebody has done radio, because on TV, if it's a radio guy, those guys don't want the prompter. And the ones who are only TV guys, the minute the prompter freezes, they're in deep trouble. Is that about right, John?
I think that's probably a pretty good description.
All right, John Weatherby, our weatherman, he'll be back at the top of the hour with another live report update on the hurricane situation on the East Coast. Thank you very much, John. 888-688-WALT. I want to hear about your evacuation. You're driving away. Have you hit crummy hotels? Have you hit gas stations that are gouging you? And then let's talk about anything you may have lost in a disaster in Northern California. Any place that you may have lost something in a disaster. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I was in Manhattan when Hurricane Sandy hit 6 years ago. There were cars floating on 23rd Street, 34th Street, floating out of the underground parking garages because they filled up with water, and the cars floated out like they were toys, like they were toys in a bathtub. It was unbelievable. Coming up in just seconds, the great Peter King. Peter King, one of the greatest radio correspondents in the history of broadcasting. He lives in Orlando. He's going to be sharing with us exactly what it feels like in Orlando, Florida. The great Peter King coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling, live, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather, I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Excessive heat warning in the southwest. Vegas is really cooking tonight, and we need to be very careful. Plus the threat of severe weather for the desert southwest. Otherwise, just light to moderate showers off the Great Lakes from northeast Ohio to Pennsylvania to western New York, and that will expand to showers and thunderstorms for Labor Day. Quiet across the northern plains tonight, but the holiday will feature a quick-moving front dropping out of Canada Monday, with severe weather possible for the Dakotas into Minnesota. Rest of the country will be hot. Rest of the country will be hot and dry for the holiday, except for the southeast, partly due to Dorian and also due to a stalled front along the coastal areas down into Florida that will try to direct Dorian. Plus, we have three other tropical events to watch: one headed for Mexico in the Gulf, two fish storms in the center of the Atlantic, and in the eastern Pacific, Juliet, which will become a hurricane moving away from Mexico. More on Dorian, though. That's in our next report. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 past the hour, all night, on Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT. We're streaming video live at Facebook, Walter M. Sterling. Go to Walter M. Sterling. Watch our live stream video live from the laundry room. Peter King is a real broadcaster. You know how I know he's a real broadcaster? Let me tell you. Let me play you something here. Hold on a second. I have show prep. I just don't use it much. Should we use it more? I don't know. Where the heck did I put that thing? Stupid. Anyway, Peter King is a CBS Radio Network correspondent, and he's one of the greatest anchormen who ever lived and a great reporter. And we both worked in Syracuse, and we both escaped from Syracuse. But what we took from Syracuse is we know what pizza is supposed to taste like. And we know that in Orlando, which is where Peter King lives now, there is no pizza. Is that correct, Peter?
Well, you know something, there is some okay and decent pizza, but there is no great pizza here.
Now, in Syracuse, where did you get great pizza?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember?
It has been so long, and I don't know that I've ever had any bad pizza up in Syracuse.
No. And the reason why you never had any bad pizza in Syracuse is it taught me what it takes to have great pizza. Two things. See if you agree. You need old grease and angst. And Syracuse is full of old grease and angst. That's why there's no good pizza in San Diego. If you look at a pizza map, the worst pizza will be in San Diego, because who's angry and there's no old grease? And then you go to the northeast, that's nice, but you have to go way up to upstate New York where everybody's angry. And everything's old, and then you have great pizza.
Yeah, but I got to dispute you on one thing. Not everybody is angry in upstate and central and western New York, and I lived there for a really, really long time.
Everybody up there is drinking beer.
Well, among other things.
Now, what was that beer that they had in upstate New York?
Genesee.
Utica Club. Yes. Now you're a great CBS Radio Network correspondent, to the point where Lee Harris, morning drive anchor on 1010 Winds in New York, you are the only, you know, Lee Harris is a real newsman, so he's like vaguely cynical about everybody.
Of course.
Except you. He has unflappable praise for you.
I have no idea why, but I totally appreciate it.
And for Lee Harris to just give unequivocal praise to somebody is practically news in itself. It could be a lead on Winds.
Well, that's nice to hear, because he's the pro's pro as well. So thank you for that, and thank you for your kind comments leading in here. I don't think I'm the greatest at anything, but at least, you know, I don't stink.
No, you don't stink. Now, Peter King lives in Orlando and therefore uniquely equipped to give us an update on how people feel about an imminent hurricane. This is a Category 5 hurricane, and it may not hit landfall, but oh my gosh, you're going to know it's there. How are you guys feeling?
I'm just absolutely spent right now. It's been a roller coaster ride for the past week, and you know, people forget that we reporters who live in the zone also have real lives and homes and families and pets and things like that. And, you know, any of the reporters who live here go through this day in and day out with this. It's, You're trying to find a good balance between doing the right thing for your family, doing the right thing for your work, and it hasn't been a struggle to do that because I'm married to somebody who was a journalist for a long, long time and totally gets it, and is also so resourceful on her own. But I have to tell you, this storm scares me like no other, and I already feel shell-shocked, and it hasn't even come to Florida yet because it's changed directions, not directions, but the parameters have changed so often in the past few days. I mean, let me give you an example. A couple of days ago, we thought it was going to make a direct hit here in Central Florida. Yesterday, they were saying, oh, it looks like it's really going to be out to sea, and you'll get winds and you'll get some rain, but it's not going to be nearly as bad. And I was out at Cocoa Beach interviewing people who were out at the beach all day yesterday. I thought, okay, well, this is going to be okay. And then last night the cone starts changing. Today it starts changing a little bit more and coming back toward the peninsula. And it's like, oh, dear God, please let this end.
What are you doing, Peter King, living in Orlando? What are you doing to prepare? If they say evacuate, if you're a reporter, do you evacuate?
Well, number one, I'm not in an evacuation zone, so that's okay. We're pretty far inland, and we're in a good area where our home does not flood. But interestingly enough, just a couple of blocks over, I've had neighbors who had their homes flooded out during Hurricane Irma. Again, we are not in an evacuation zone. I don't think that's going to be a problem for us, but we could lose power, we could lose water, and all the things associated with that. So we have stocked up on food, stuff that we can cook out on a gas grill if we're without power for a few days after the storm clears, non-perishable food that we could just open and eat, several cases of water, soda. We have saved ice. We have one of those Yeti coolers that keeps stuff cold for days and days and days, and I've actually taken that to hurricanes with me. We've got a lot of batteries. We've got three radios, at least three radios, probably a dozen flashlights in the house. We've brought everything in from the outside that could be a movable object and become a projectile and break windows or hurt somebody. The only thing we haven't done here is we haven't boarded up our windows, and I'll tell you why. I've been in this house for more than 20 years. It's already been through at least two hurricanes and several tropical storms, and it's never been a problem here. So we're in a pretty well-shielded area. I don't think we're going to have a problem. So we did not board up, although a number of my neighbors are doing that. So those are the things that they tell everybody to do. You should have a lot of food that will last, and batteries and water and all of those things, because it's going to be a disaster zone in one way, shape, or form. You may lose power for a day or two. Some people may lose power for much more, depending on where they are. You have to be prepared, and they always say, have a plan, have an emergency plan, have your hurricane kit in-house so you don't have to scramble.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good. Now, here's my question. Peter King in Orlando, Florida, a CBS radio anchorman, a real one, one who's, like, feared by other anchor people. No, you are. But here's my... No. I have a lot of question about hurricane coverage. And one of my questions is, whenever a real reporter is interviewing potential victims of the hurricane,
sure,
the question is always, are you going to evacuate?
Right.
And half of them say, no, you know, I've lived here since 1922. I'm not going to evacuate. Has there ever been a follow-up to find out if those people died?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, interestingly enough, one of our local TV people who used to be a state trooper was telling a story on the air the other day where we have emergency managers who will say, if you're staying and you're in an evacuation zone, we're not going to come get you, so put a toe tag on or write your social security number on your arm so we can notify next of kin when we find your body. And he was telling the story of having found some bodies. So, yeah, but you know what?
Wow.
Look, on Cocoa Beach yesterday, I talked to an artist who said, you know what? I've lived here forever. I've never had a problem. I've survived all the other hurricanes. Why do I want to go to someplace else where I don't have my stuff and I'm not in my own home? And then he went on to tee off on the media and say, you know, how we were hyping everything and scaring the hell out of everybody and, you know, those kinds of things. Look, there are a lot of skeptics who think that we're, you know, we root for these storms for ratings, for TV, for radio or whatever, and it's like, you gotta be kidding me.
No, when I do things for ratings, that usually involves lesbianism. You and I are talking to Peter King, CBS radio correspondent. I have another question that I'm going to ask you in just seconds, which is, when they do the live shots on TV, everybody makes fun of the weather guys who stand there in the storm and get blown away. But what I never understand is they do the live shots on TV and they show the weatherman, but I don't need to see a guy standing. I want to see what the weather situation looks like. I want to see the buildings torn down. I want to see the signs blowing. They just show me some 100-pound guy with makeup getting blown away. That's with Peter King coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 47 past the hour, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, no donation is too small.
Hurricane is headed toward the East Coast. It will present astonishing storm surges. It is a Category 5 hurricane. And John Weatherby, our weatherman, will have a complete update for us in about 20 minutes at 888-688-WALT is my phone number. And we're talking about the hurricane. We're talking about escaping from the hurricane, hitting the road, situations you have found with hotels and gas stations. I want to know if there are any crooks that have taken advantage of you. Right now, you and I are talking to Peter King, CBS radio correspondent who lives in Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida is the most interesting city in the world in that it has a river that runs away from the ocean, and it has the highest percent per capita of strip clubs and the highest percent per capita of evangelical colleges.
Pawn shops.
And it was the first city in America that banned showing Playboys on display at a 7-Eleven. It was the first city that said you have to buy them from behind the counter. But like I said, it had the most strip clubs. Peter King is talking about the hurricane, the situation with the hurricane. Peter, when you see a television reporter, this bothers the hell out of me. It's crazy enough that we're supposed to watch somebody who weighs 100 pounds in makeup being blown by the wind for a 90-second shot. What I never understand is why don't they tell the cameraman to shoot something other than the reporter? We're reporting on a disastrous hurricane. I want to see the buildings coming down. I want to see the signs flying. I want to see Auntie M blowing in the wind. What the hell is that about, Peter?
Well, first of all, you know, the reporters are covering the story. They're going to be on camera. If there is something to show, my guess is they show them. Otherwise, you see the rain, you see the wind, and you see the guys getting blown around in the water. And to me, I mean, look, it's like they're putting on... It gets to be a point where you just wonder, is it worth going out there and risking your life just for the sake of a good picture and that sort of thing? I mean, one of the things that my bosses here told me years ago was, you know, don't do anything stupid because we want you to live to report another day. And I've known people who've gotten hit by debris, stuff that flies in the air when the wind is blowing that high. And I don't think it's worth doing anything stupid. But you know what? Reporters have go fever. Cameramen and camera women get go fever. Producers get go fever. That sort of thing. I mean, you're sort of fueled by it until, I suppose, something happens to you.
Now, I'd like you to think about your long career and the stories of disasters that you've had to cover.
Too many of them.
Right, exactly. Too many of them. But there are dark places in your memory that you can go to and think about one or two disaster situations that you walked on that you could only have access to if you were a cop or a reporter that haunt you? Are there disaster scenes that haunt you, Peter King?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, I was in Haiti just after the earthquake, and very much so with that, and also with Hurricane Katrina, which I covered for 3 weeks, 14 years ago this week. That stuff always stays with me. And the thing that finally hit me when I was in Haiti was that after about 7 or 8 days of busy coverage of it, all of a sudden it wasn't the lead story, and people were losing interest, news organizations were losing interest, and it had occurred to me that, you know, people change the channel when they get tired of something, but for people who go through disasters, they're often life-changing, and because you're dealing with their lives. And yeah, the media will lose interest and take off, and these folks will still be left to fend for themselves. That occurred to me last year after Hurricane Michael, a Category 5 storm hit there up in the Florida Panhandle. We went back a few weeks later, long after the rest of the national media had gone, to do some follow-up reporting. And, you know, again, this storm, Dorian, has the chance to be a life-changing storm for so many people. We're already seeing it in the Bahamas. I am so fearful of what we'll see here in Florida and further up the coast in Georgia and in the Carolinas. This is a scary storm, Walter.
The great Peter King, the best correspondent at CBS Radio to me and Lee Harris. And that pretty much makes it official, Peter.
You're way too kind, but I appreciate the kind words.
All right, you're a great friend. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you, sir. All right, 888-688-WALT. Here's what I want to hear from you. Let's you and I talk. All the grown-ups have gone to bed. That means you and I get to have our stories. We get to tell our stories. Coming up in just seconds, I'm going to tell you when I was in Manhattan during Hurricane Sandy 5 years ago, the lights were out in my apartment for 10 days. And what I saw on the streets was unbelievable. We'll do that coming up in just seconds. I want to hear about your disaster story, whether you were in the fires in Northern California or a hurricane situation or a tornado. Let's share our disaster stories, because as Peter King says, these stories haunt us. They stay with us. These are things that don't dissipate. A major event like this, if you've lived through it, these are stories that we need to share with each other. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Yeah, what? I'm live. You're driving an 18-wheeler. You're coming home from a long summer, a two-week vacation, Labor Day, you're coming home. This is our time.
Okay, hello, everyone. Yes, I'm back.
Yes, she's back. Coming up in just seconds, we'll have the usual edition, our weekly stabbing in the back of public radio. Plus, we're going to have a new edition of Drive Through Brew, Lesbians in Space, and, yes, Florida stories, because wackiness continues to happen in Florida, even if it isn't a disaster. You and I get to talk. That's the best part of the show. That's why I do the show, is I get to talk to you at 888-688-9258. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
All right, 888-688-WALT. We're talking about your rush with natural disasters. Experiences you've had with natural disasters. Oh, my gosh, that's Bill White at KFBK. Can you believe KFBK is running the show? Oh, and Kevin Graham, WBAP. I have a message for both of you. 5 days a week, boys. 5 days a week. John Weatherby, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. John Weatherby is a meteorologist. John Weatherby has a live report on the hurricane situation up and down the East Coast. Hi, John.
And we have the latest 11 o'clock update that's just been issued by the National Hurricane Center. Not a lot of change. Still maximum winds at 180 miles an hour, moving west at 6. Its location is now approaching Freeport, Grand Bahama. The disaster area that's already occurred across the northwest Bahamas is continuing to hammer that area tonight. The brand new forecast cone of uncertainty has expanded again, but it's just a little bit to the right or east, maybe not as close to Florida as we originally thought. This is going to wobble back and forth, but the cone of uncertainty is still in play. Major hurricane very close to the Florida coast. Looks like 8 p.m. Tuesday night would be the closest encounter. By the time it gets up to Jacksonville, it's farther offshore, following the 80-degree longitude, if you want to think of it that way, and then brushing again across the Carolina coast Thursday into Friday. That's the center of the cone of uncertainty, and as the National Weather Service is very quick to remind you anytime you look at that, don't look at the center, don't look at the dots, look on either edge, and that's understandable. I've had a chance to look at the updated computer models, and several of the big global suites that the National Hurricane Center relies upon regularly are continuing to push it offshore and up past South Carolina into North Carolina with a North Carolina landfall. There's also one particular computer model that the National Hurricane Center likes to use a lot. It's very dynamic, and it brings Dorian into Cape Canaveral, making landfall. It's the only one of all of the computer guidance.
Well, so John, what do you think? John, we can't study the models. What do you think's going to happen?
I think it stays offshore. I think it stays offshore, but it's close enough to the Florida coast that it creates a real damaging situation with storm surge up to 20 feet, coastal flooding, beach erosion. I think a lot of coastal communities. I think, let me put it this way, the evacuations that have been ordered by the governors of Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina are very well placed and certainly deserving to have that happen. There is an incredible risk that this storm could wobble. There's that possibility word that you don't like, and I understand why you don't like
it. No, I don't like that because I'm a talk show host.
Well, but it's not as actionable as a specific forecast.
All right, John Weatherby will be with us coming up again at 35 past the hour with a live report and update. Plus, in a half hour, John Weatherby will take your questions live on the radio. Why other meteorologists are not put on to answer your questions, I don't know. Thank you, John Weatherby, meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Clayton Neville, a prestigious Westwood One correspondent. Unbelievable that an award winner like you with a deep Texas voice would be on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you, Clayton, for being with us. How are you doing?
Walter, I appreciate it. Good to be here. Doing well. I'll tell you, uncertainty is certainly the word, but there's a little more urgency being felt now along Florida's East Coast than maybe a day or so ago.
How is that urgency taking form? How is that coming to life? What are people doing, Clayton?
Well, one example of that is the fact that I've bounced around to two different hotels today. I think I've been in three hotels in the last 12 hours. And a lot of that is because of the fact that I got to one of them around 2 o'clock this afternoon in Jacksonville Beach. About 3 hours later, a phone rang in the hotel room and said a mandatory evacuation has been put in place. Now, that doesn't officially go into effect until 8 a.m. tomorrow, but I took that opportunity to get to some higher ground. I'm now here in downtown Jacksonville, just off the river, which is also posing some flooding threats, but a little bit off of the Gulf Coast. And that's what everyone in this particular area is asked to do. And it's not just here in Nassau County. It's also in Duval County. It's all the way down to even Deerfield Beach has potentials for evacuations as well. So the fact that this thing is so uncertain, meaning that these evacuations are really taking place everywhere from Florida to Georgia to the Carolinas. But I was out and about on the beach around 2 o'clock this afternoon speaking with people. There were guys jumping on surfboards, getting out there. And then a couple hours later, they found out they better pack up their stuff and head inland.
What's so important about staying on top of the weather in Florida is that this has profound effect on the major transportation hubs of the East Coast, the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando airports, major transportation hubs. They have shut the Orlando airport. I don't know if they've shut the Miami airports. Do you know which airports have been closed? And then, Clayton Neville, could you tell us which areas of Florida expect mandatory evacuations?
So as far as airports, the most affected at this point are Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Orlando. As of just about an hour ago, there were over 700 flights into those three airports for tomorrow, in and out, I should say, that were canceled. About an hour before that, there were 600. So they're continuing to go up. As this thing continues to move toward the Florida Gulf Coast, it's those three airports, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Orlando, that are really seeing the brunt of the impact here. I would expect it to be into the thousands by early tomorrow as far as canceled flights in and out of Florida. And those evacuations are primarily in effect for coastal towns, a lot of the beach towns. You know, the mayor of Jacksonville said there was no way he was going to allow the tourists that came to be on the beach to stay through this storm. Now, again, the uncertainty of when's it going to hit, where's it going to hit, that's also prompting these evacuations. The fear of the unknown. You know what? We're not sure, but we're going to play it safe. Let's get everybody out of there.
Now, Clayton Neville, who's in Florida right now in Jacksonville, the problem with the mandatory evacuations is you got to have some place to go, and you have to have a credit card with a big line, because there aren't enough hotel rooms for the entire state of Florida to find in Georgia and South Carolina and West Virginia. And then once you get there, gee, it's not like you're going to somebody's gymnasium or bedroom. You got to pay $200-$300 a night for a hotel room. And if you have a bunch of kids, that's a lot of food. It's a big deal to evacuate, isn't it?
It really is. You know, as an example, and luckily I'm here on assignment, but just as an example, today when I had the last night I was in Orlando, I had two nights booked there, had to cancel one of them when my plans changed to go to Jacksonville. Then when I got here, I got booted out of the hotel by the beach. Sure, I'm going to get refunded, but that won't be 5 to 7 days before I get that money back. And so that's $600 for hotel rooms that won't even be slept in. And that's what people are dealing with here. You know, if you have to make a cancellation, you may get refunded, but that credit card will take a few days. What if there's no power? How long will it take then? So those are the things that people are dealing with. It's not as simple as jump in and go. Gas is another issue.
No, when they say
you have gas.
Right, they have to make sure they have gas. Let's talk more about the processes of evacuating. It's like, evacuate. No. That's not such an easy thing. You and I will talk about that coming up in just seconds. Clayton Neville, I don't know why I can't talk tonight.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke. Sterling on Sunday now presents It's Boner Time.
I will never sound like Charlie Van Dyke. Listen, one of the tough things about being a guy over 30 is sometimes you can't get it up. And our fantasy in life is to be able to get it up like we're 28 years old. And you know what? We've earned that right. Why? Because we've spent so much money on dates. We've gotten married. We've been good boyfriends and husbands. We deserve to get a boner whenever we want. We've been good partners. We deserve to have a boner whenever we want. A couple years ago, a prescription drug came out that made it possible for us to have a boner whenever we wanted. Why? Because it's a medical condition. It's a medical condition. Problem, it costs $4,000 to get one of these pills. No more. Now they're generic. And there's a company called 4HIMS, F-O-R-H-I-M-S, 4HIMS.com, that makes it possible for us to get this medicine at the right price. Now, I have negotiated a special price with them. You ready? It's free. It's free. Boner medicine for free. Did you hear what I said? And you don't have to go to the doctor and sit in the office and then take the prescription to Susan, your crush at the pharmacy, and then be crushed when she looks at what the prescription is and she realizes that you have this challenge. No more. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to 4HIMS.com/Walter. Make sure you put the Walter on there so my kids get to go to college. FORHIMS.com/Walter. This is Sterling on Sunday.
The weekly adventures of life in the drive-thru brew. Last time, Josh, a Nickelodeon named groundskeeper, has questions about his soul.
I'm glad our landscaping has been well thought of by the community.
As the manager, I can tell you there can always be room for improvement. What about the border hedge? Or are you as lazy as your name?
Here comes a customer through the brew.
I need the brew. Please put 12 cases of light in my trunk.
That's a lot of brew for you. Are you having a party?
Oh, that's Josh. Josh, yes, I can see a party in Josh's pants.
Oh, no. Not me, too.
Next time, will Josh have to submit to the whims of the customer? That's next time on Life in the Drive-Thru Brew. Word Car speaking.
Distinguished journalist is sharing time with us, reporting from Florida about the situation with the hurricane in Florida. Let's talk about this wackiness where we hear reporters and do-good people saying, and it's very important that you evacuate if you tell you're being evacuated. Yeah, great. Where do you go? You're going to drive into a traffic jam, and then what, Clayton Neville? Then what?
Yeah, you know, I talked to a guy this afternoon about 30 minutes after the evacuation was announced in the Jacksonville area, and he lived right by the hotel that I was at, lived just down the street in a house. And I was talking to him about the evacuations. He was telling me how important it is for them to put the evacuations out early and things like that. And then I said, so where are you going? And he said, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying home. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I have nowhere to go. He said he didn't have enough money to go anywhere. He didn't have any relatives, so he was staying home. In his mind, there was no other choice. There was no other option. So there's a lot of people like that man who either they don't have anywhere to go, they don't want to go because they don't want to leave their belongings behind, or simply, as we were talking about, there's just no option.
Give us a summary of the situation in Jacksonville in northern Florida. Sum up what the mood is, how people feel, how you feel, and what do you think's about to happen?
Well, you know, there are shelters there, so there are some people who are deciding to go to those. But as far as everybody else, for the most part, I think there's some frustration in the sense that they've been hearing about this and waiting on this for a week, and now we're finding out that it still could be a day or maybe two or perhaps three more days before the impacts are felt. So frustration is certainly one part of it for a lot of people around here. I think that the uncertainty is causing a lot of people some anxiety. One, the fact that they've been waiting, and now two, while they wait, they're seeing these images on TV from the Bahamas. They're seeing roofs ripped off of homes, and then they're hearing forecasters on one channel say it's coming this way, on another channel say it's going that way, and the reason that's happening is because the storm is uncertain in itself. It's very hard to predict. It's wobbling from forecast to forecast. So anxiety and frustration are the two main feelings right now here in northeastern Florida where I am.
Clayton Neville, you are fantastic. Now I know why the great Kevin Graham of WBAP has you on his staff. You're just terrific. I think when you go back to Dallas, your job is to say to Kevin Graham, you know, this Sterling guy, he really should be on the station every day.
That's my plan. I'll do it. Yeah. I didn't know you and Kevin knew each other. That's great.
Well, WBAP clears my show.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? You didn't know that, did you?
I knew that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Clayton Neville, you're the best. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I know you've got a big story to cover, and thank you for covering it on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, your brush with disaster. What's happened to you in a disastrous situation? Rich Stevens right now is at Delaware Beach. We're moving up the coast. Rich Stevens, the situation in Delaware Beach. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Walter? It's actually Delray Beach. So I'm in between Boynton Beach and Boca Raton, Florida. I was out at the beach this afternoon, earlier this evening, to see a tremendous increase in the waves. And that's usually the first sign. The second sign is the outer feeder bands, which we're already feeling here in South Florida. And the third is seeing nothing but electric company trucks from other states in caravans driving down the street to some staging area location. the closer we are to the staging area, obviously, the better it is. But that's telling me they know the power's going to go out. Usually when the outer bands start is when the winds pick up. And the outer bands, when they come around, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it could be perfectly sunny like it was this afternoon. And all of a sudden, it downpours like crazy with a heavy wind. And 10 minutes later, it's gone. So we're in a waiting position right now.
Rich Stevens in Delray Beach. There, it's very spooky when vehicles that don't belong in our neighborhood show up. When Army caravans, Air Force caravans, electric power companies from other cities are showing up in Delray Beach. How many of these trucks showed up?
Well, I've actually counted 18 coming past where I was driving earlier. The scariest part is I saw some Canadian license plates, so I know they're coming from as far away as Canada, which is not a good sign. Now, FPL, which is Florida Power and Light, our energy company on the east coast of Florida, says year after year that they've stabilized and there shouldn't be any outages. But if that was true, why are all these power companies coming to assist? And the reason is because they know we're going to lose power. And usually we lose power earlier in the day. In other words, 6-7 o'clock at night, right before it gets dark, which is the worst time to lose power. Not that it's a good time to lose power, but I can tell you two other things. You were talking about airports before. Palm Beach International Airport is closed as of midnight tonight, will not be open tomorrow at all. It's not a shelter, so people are told not to go to the airport. Shelters have indeed opened throughout South Florida. Zone A, which is closest to the beach, has already been evacuated. I also took a drive by Mar-a-Lago today just to see what it looked like, you know, from their perspective, all boarded up, which I've never seen. And the other thing, finally...
Wait. What? Say that again. What was boarded up that you've never seen?
I've never seen Mar-a-Lago boarded up the way it is.
The President's Southern Retreat, Mar-a-Lago, big resort, it's boarded up?
Totally boarded up with shutters on every window that I can see, and that's part of Palm Beach, the island, and that's been evacuated. The other thing that I've seen, which is always the scariest point for me, is the roads are, I just got home a little while ago, the roads are eerily empty, and Publix is closing tomorrow, which is...
There you go.
So that's when you know people are taking this seriously. We've had times when they can predict this. You have to remember, Walter, that this... Just a few days ago, they were telling us it's no more than a Category 1. Now it's a Category 5. With sustained winds over 200 miles an hour.
All right, so we've got Mar-a-Lago boarded up. We have Publix, the major grocery store in South Florida, could close tomorrow. Rich Stevens, you, so far, are the best reporter we've had tonight. In Delray Beach, Florida, Rich Stevens, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I really appreciate it. What good reporting you have done, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to say a couple things real quick. One, thoughts and prayers for not only our residents here in South Florida, but for the first responders, law enforcement, fire personnel, medical personnel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello again, Sterling on Sunday Weather. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, the only weatherman on the radio on Sunday night with the latest on Major Hurricane Dorian, still pounding the northwest Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour winds, moving ever so slowly to the west at 5. Last position was dangerously close to the Atlantic coast of Florida, and even though we still don't know exactly where Dorian is going this week, it's too close and record-setting strong enough to risk the catastrophe. So, evacuations are happening now in Florida and South Carolina, other states, Georgia, North Carolina will be added. Coastal folks getting out of harm's way. And this threat is very serious, even without a landfalling hurricane. Forecast for dangerous storm surge inundating the beach communities and locally heavy rainfall with coastal flooding. The cone of uncertainty now covers 83 million people all the way up the coast to New Jersey. So action is being taken and we continue to track the results, like total devastation earlier today with over 24 hours of hurricane pounding over the northwest Bahamas. And after this expected stall in the track is done, Dorian will move more quickly up the coast. We'll be watching and getting you the latest information. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Last week, Judy in Dallas told this terrible joke.
I was wondering, what do you feed a gay horse? Hey!
And now, this week's terrible joke from Judy in Dallas.
Hey, Judy, let's hear the joke.
Okay, well, I hope that this this is a bad timing, but what did the coconut tree say to the hurricane?
What did the cocoa tree say to the hurricane?
Coconut tree.
Oh, sorry. What, let me repeat it. What did the coconut tree say to the hurricane? Go ahead, Judy.
Wow, that was some blow job.
I think what we need to do is take all of Judy's jokes and put them in a book and make that our show's Christmas gift to you. How would you feel about that if we took all of Judy's jokes, put them in a book, or better, a CD, and made that our show's Christmas gift? I think that would be spectacular. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Right now on Facebook, you can respond to that brilliant idea of making Judy's jokes part of our Christmas gift celebration. But right now on Facebook, you can give your comments, but you can also see a live stream from my laundry room, which is where I do my show. I'm not like Zach Sang and need a very fancy studio, $1 million studio. No, no. I do my show from my laundry room live on a Sunday night, and I have the best show and the best ratings, because it's all about talent. John Weatherby, weatherman, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Give us a live update.
180-mile-an-hour winds, still pounding the northwest Bahamas. That's going to be a big problem for about 24 more hours. It moves very slow. It's in a stall. And because of that stall, we are really concerned about where it may go next. Florida coast now has a hurricane warning up through the Cape Canaveral area. Hurricane watch with the 11 o'clock update has been extended to the Florida-Georgia line at the St. Mary's River. And from that point, we're going to have to watch and see how it plays. But the latest forecast track is just a little bit to the right, away from Florida, farther away from Georgia, so closer to South Carolina, perhaps Wilmington, North Carolina, brushing that area by 8 p.m. Thursday night. It's a very wide cone of uncertainty. Now calculated, oh my goodness, I just realized, the northern edge of this cone includes Long Island, New York. That's how far north this goes. That's how wide this storm is. That's how I'm going to have to recalculate the population that's involved. Let's just say this is going to have a big impact on a lot of folks' holiday plans and into the short work week ahead. We'll be here to keep you updated, watching that cone, keeping you updated on where the storm will actually go, because, as Walter likes to tell you, he doesn't like possibilities.
What? What? What?
Dad, it's a possibility. See it like this. It's the freaking OJs, man.
If I had a chance,
Dad, that's not how you reach younger demos.
Do you have a question for a weatherman? It puzzles me, it mystifies me, that big radio stations would have on a meteorologist like you, John Weatherby, and then they don't take phone calls. Now, every single person who listens to this show is in a very different situation. And if you're driving up the East Coast, if you're coming away from a long holiday, a vacation, coming back after Labor Day to your home, you're sitting there going, is this a good idea? And you can ask questions of John Weatherby about the hurricane. That's right. John will answer your questions. Think of it as a personal, custom, on-demand meteorologist. Here's his number. You and I will be on the air with John Weatherby, our meteorologist. 888-688-9258. That's my phone number. I am live at 40 minutes past the hour. Yes, live, live, live. Not one of these embarrassing shows. 888-688-9258. My phone number is 888-688-9258. I believe that any radio station that's on the East Coast, that can be heard on the shoreline of the East Coast, if they are not doing either broadcasting this show, which is live coverage of an upcoming hurricane, a Category 5 hurricane, or that they have their own coverage, if they're running the Gold Show, the Bullion and Cube Show, Mr. Mutual Bond Show, the gardening show that was recorded 3 days ago, if they're doing that, their license should be up for review right now, because they are squandering the public trust. And not only are they hurting themselves, they're hurting the entire medium. That's why stations like WSB in Atlanta, Peter Spriggs station, is so smart to air Sterling on Sunday. Because whenever there is a major event, a major weather event, we will cover it. That's what we do. That's what you're supposed to do on the radio. Call me nuts. Call me nuts, John Weatherby. Where do you think it's going to hit landfall? Yes. Where do you think it's going to hit landfall, John?
I don't think it's going to hit landfall. How about that?
Important information.
According to the science that I have in front of me, it's going to just barely hit the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And that's it.
What will it do to the oceans? What's it going to do to our shoreline up and down the East Coast?
Beach erosion, storm surge, wind damage, it's going to be crazy. Georgia coast, South Carolina coast, particularly vulnerable because of the approach of Dorian to that part of the southeast coast. It'll be more of a sideways or parallel brush for North Carolina. And the Florida coast, my God, if this gets even close with major hurricane force winds, there'll be some big damage there.
Mary, listening on WMAL, welcome to Sterling on Sunday with a question for John Weatherby, weatherman.
Yeah, I'm curious about where these hurricanes happen. I grew up in Connecticut and listened to my relatives on Long Island talk about the big hurricane of 38. We used to have hurricane warnings all the time in Connecticut. Why are they not traveling north anymore?
Answer to the question is they don't travel as north as often ever. There are Irma, for example, went right up the Hudson River Valley, was a major hurricane, was a huge problem. Bob, Diane, all were hurricanes that went to the north. And the one you spoke of that was horrible for hurricanes don't normally go that far north. They happen much more frequently in the more southern latitudes.
Mary, thank you for your call. Do you have a question for John Weatherby, weatherman? The number is 888-688-WALT. I can't think of anything more important than covering the weather live on a Sunday night, headed into the work week, headed into the three-day Labor Day weekend. What else are you going to talk about that's more important? I really can't think of anything. 888-688-WALT lets you and I talk to John Weatherby, weatherman, who will answer all of your weather questions. And again, I'm like sitting here scratching my head, like, why have I have never heard the weatherman put on the phone with a listener? It's amazing to me.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke. Sterling on Sunday now presents It's Boner Time.
All right, here's my gift to you, a boner on demand. Remember when you were 28 before you got married? You got a boner whenever you want. You got a boner when you thought about having a boner, and then it disappeared. It's not because you don't love your wife or your partner or your girlfriend. It's not because of that at all. It's because at a certain age, all men have this challenge from time to time. And I'm not going to call it it's a problem. It's not a problem. It's a medical condition. That's why it requires a medical solution. Medicine from a doctor. And that's what you can get. Oh, but you've heard about that pill. It cost a fortune. Not anymore. I made a deal with a company called 4HIMS, F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com. It's a great company that makes products for men. It makes great hand creams. It makes balding solutions, and it makes boner medicine available to you. How much? For free. For free. You go to F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/Walter. Be sure to do the /Walter Try for Hymns for a Month today for just $5 a month. You subscribe to the website. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require a online consultation. You don't have to go to the doctor. You just go to your computer. That's where you do your porn anyway, with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Walter, forhims.com/Walter. We'll have more with John Weatherby, more updates on the hurricane coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. You've heard the term jumping the shark. That comes from Happy Days, when it was a serious, thoughtful show in the beginning, and by the end of its run, it was a wacky, whimsical comedy. And analysts point to the episode where the show lost its moorings to reality in the form of the Fonz, while water skiing, jumping over a shark. At New Smyrna Beach in Florida, a 40-year-old Florida man was out surfing, and on his last wave of the day, as he goes to the top, he kicks up, flies off his board, jumps over a 6-foot shark. Except he's not the Fonz. He lands on the shark lunges at him, he tries to block it with his left hand, it ends up biting his left leg, and then swims off. Florida man has cuts on 4 of his left fingers, a big chunk out of his shin and his calf, but other than that, he's going to be okay. Also, fun fact about New Smyrna Beach, Nat Geo says it is the shark attack capital of the world and estimates that anyone who has swam there has been within 10 feet of a shark. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go down to West Palm Beach, where cops found a bag, trying to figure out whose it is. Maybe a homeless person, maybe a school kid. We don't know, but it does have some crack and marijuana in it. An attempt to try and find the bag's rightful owner, they made a post on Facebook with a picture of the marijuana and the crack, and says, if you lost this, we found it. Please come and claim it so we can speak with you. And it's on the Facebook account for the West Palm Beach Police Department. And so for the people who are laughing at the West Palm Beach Police Department, they're looking at them with a straight face going, hey, this has worked before. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we go down to Daytona Beach, Florida, where this young couple falls in love one day at the Cracked Egg restaurant. Florida man proposes to Florida woman. She says yes. And as a memento of the happy occasion, on the way out, she buys a mug in the lobby. Fast forward 20 years later, she's drinking coffee out of that mug on her back porch. She sets it down to go inside to have a chat with her daughter. And a Florida burglar comes up on the back porch, grabs the mug, total stranger, starts drinking out of it. She looks out the window. Is there a guy rummaging through my shed? And then he goes over and starts looking at her car. So she comes out. She says, hey, I called the cops. You better get out of here. He said, thanks, and runs and jumps over the backyard fence, never to be seen again. And the only thing that he stole was that $8 mug. Hold my beer. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We'll have another edition of Florida Stories coming up, plus we will have the usual edition, our very special view about public radio.
Okay, hello everyone. Yes, I'm back.
And now what we all wait for, a listener from KDKA. On a Sunday night covering the hurricane with John Weatherby. Welcome to the show, Mr. Pittsburgh.
Good evening, Walter and Mr. Weatherby. Three quick questions about hurricanes. First, is there factors besides the surface temperature of the ocean that influences the size and intensity, wind speed of hurricanes? Second, are there differences between the hurricanes that form in the Gulf of Mexico versus the hurricanes that form in the eastern Atlantic? And third, do meteorologists see a trend of increasing numbers or intensities of hurricanes in recent years?
Thanks for listening, KDKA. Those are great questions. Thank you very much. John Weatherby, weatherman.
Thank you, Mr. Pittsburgh. Good questions. Surface temperatures are the primary drivers of hurricanes, but atmospheric conditions have to be favorable for a storm to develop. For example, if there's a lot of wind shear up above, if there's high or low pressure up above, that can stymie a storm from forming. A lot of different things are involved, but you're right, surface temperatures is number one on the list. Number two, is there a difference between Gulf and Atlantic, East Atlantic hurricanes? Only in duration, because an East Atlantic hurricane has the opportunity to come all the way across the Atlantic basin, and those tend to be stronger or more often major hurricanes. However, we've had a Cat 5 come across the Gulf of Mexico. It was Camille in 1969. That was a horrible storm with horrible damage. So it's possible to have a Cat 5 storm as well in the Gulf. They are more regularly possible from the East Atlantic. Last question, meteorological trend, increasing numbers. Actually, there's been some research on this, and most of the researchers feel that there's probably less number of storms, but those storms that form will tend to be bigger over the next several years. And this research came from Sandy and the result of Sandy and how that happened. And so as they went back and studied what formed those storms, they now think fewer storms, but those storms that form will be bigger. Great questions. Right. Thank you, Mr. Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Mr. Weatherby. John Weatherby coming up in just seconds. We'll have more updates on the storm situation on Sterling on Sunday. It's amazing to me that this is the only show that's live with a hurricane pounding against the East Coast, about to cause significant damage. The Orlando airport closed. Miami airport is going to close. Fort Lauderdale airport is going to close. Those are the major hubs on the East Coast besides the ones in New York, and affect more people than any. There's just 700 flights a day each airport. We'll keep you up to date. I'll give you all the information as it comes in to Sterling on Sunday, because this is an actual live radio show. We're not doing the Bitcoin show. We're not doing the gardening show that's recorded on Thursday. It's a live radio show, and I congratulate WSB, WMAL, WLS, all the great radio stations that air this show, for having the courage to do the right thing, to commit broadcasting. Let's go out, ladies and gentlemen, and commit broadcasting. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hello again, Sterling on Sunday weather. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, the only weatherman on the radio on Sunday night with the latest on Major Hurricane Dorian, still pounding the northwest Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour winds, moving ever so slowly to the west at 5. Last position was dangerously close to the Atlantic coast of Florida. And even though we still don't know exactly where Dorian is going this week, it's too close and record-setting strong enough to risk the catastrophe. So, evacuations are happening now in Florida and South Carolina, other states, Georgia, North Carolina will be added. Coastal folks getting out of harm's way. And this threat is very serious, even without a landfalling hurricane. Forecast for dangerous storm surge inundating the beach communities and locally heavy rainfall with coastal flooding. The cone of uncertainty now covers 83 million people all the way up the coast to New Jersey. So action is being taken, and we continue to track the results, like total devastation earlier today with over 24 hours of hurricane pounding over the northwest Bahamas. And after this expected stall in the track is done, Dorian will move more quickly up the coast. We'll be watching and getting you the latest information. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Public Radio, and I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Our long struggle continues. As a nation, we must face the hard fact that truffle oil will be priced higher this year due to Trump's position on climate change. The truffle crop has been depleted due to Trump's insistence that the melting ice caps are a natural evolution of the planet as we experience an end of an ice age. That's impossible. Our research shows the warming is caused by old Cadillac exhaust in Canada. As you know, Canada is dangerously close to the ice caps, and Canada also has a shortage of strippers. For an update on the Trump-damaged truffles, we seek the reporting of James Mushroomhead, an award winner.
This is truffle season. We are bereft of the truffle oil we use in scrambled eggs and for our arthritis, and to lubricate our Prius. For the latest on the impact of high-priced truffle oil, let's tune into our Japanese TV affiliate, Already in Progress.
트러플 자장 라면인데요. 품격이 달라요.
다르지?
품격이. 정말. 품격이 틀려요.
And now to the volatile Gordon Ramsay for his burner eye view on the truffle crisis.
The pan. Because when you start sort of whisking beforehand, you're breaking it all down. You've got to break it down in the pan. But the secret behind the scrambled egg is to start it on a nice sort of generous heat, take it off the heat, go back to the heat, take it off the heat. And treat it like a risotto. You can't stop stirring. It's live. You've got to really work at it. Now.
Certainly, we must consider the street people of Somalia, who are very concerned about the shortages of truffles.
Brief, more stable-ish period, but that was quickly brought to a halt. However, now, looks like things are going to open up again, and actually it's kind of not so secretly obvious that operations have been sort of ramped up to try to help out a bit. The U.S. has been drone striking left and right, targeting Al-Shabaab, ISIS, other militant groups, basically just kind of repeatedly poking enough holes in the balloon.
Thank you, Rachel, for this unusual amount of time on the usual edition.
Public radio is made possible by a grant from Mr. Sweater Time. To look collegiate, even with a community college degree, it's Mr. Sweater Time. And by archer Michael Midland, the best orthopedic arches for the flat-footed who listen to public radio. And by the gullible like you. I'm Billy, just Billy, and my mom, a former ambassador to Nigeria, got me this job.
Happy to give James the extra time for the Truffle Report. All of our friends in Congress are in Italy working hard and giving us little to report on. Since this Labor Day weekend, everything you are hearing was recorded weeks ago. Right now, I'm spending extra time with the freaking OJs.
If I had a chance, so smart, you can't beat her cooking. Oh, ask me how I know, and I'll tell you. So she used to be my main girl. Been down in that hole. I'll place no one above her. She's warm and sensitive.
Just remember, during the week when something annoys you, or during the week when something is spectacular, look at the heavens and go, it's the freaking OJs, man.
Dad, say it like this. It's the freaking OJs, man.
All right, let's you and I talk. I want to hear about your brush with a natural disaster, like a hurricane, tornado. Do I have to spell out what a natural disaster is to you? 888-688-WALT. Mark, listening in Kansas City, a truck driver. Welcome to the Giant Show. Hi. Hi, Mark. Hi. Hello, Mark.
Drive coast to coast over the road. That's the way you got to start out to get your experience to get a good paying local job. And getting pounded by tornadoes.
Stop. What did you just say?
I was getting pounded by tornadoes this one summer. I had so many close calls. And at this one shipper, me and this other truck driver were getting loaded, and we were outside of our trucks. And I saw two tornadoes form into one, and it started heading eastbound. And I was like, great, that's the same direction I got to go. So I drive through the storm, outrun the tornadoes. I get, as a truck driver, you can only drive 11 hours at a time, and then you have to mandatory take a 10-hour break. During my 10-hour break, the tornadoes catch up to me. This went on all the way to the east coast of the United States. I would be asleep and start hearing, sounds like hammers hitting your cab as you're sleeping in the sleeper berth, and it's hail. Then your truck is shaking. You can't, legally, you can't move. If I move the truck, I'll be breaking a DOT law. If I end up running into anyone or anybody even runs into me, you have to take a 10-hour break, mandatory. Not to mention it's at night. You can't even see the tornado. You don't know where you're going. So it's pretty terrifying. Then the next day, the storm passes me, and I'm headed towards Chicago. I'm on a back U.S. highway, not the interstate. So I had oncoming traffic, and there's this white van that's tailgating me. And it's really annoying. They finally pass as we're headed to this dark, ominous black cloud. And it's a storm chaser van with the Doppler radar. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's the van you want to see. Finally get there and make the delivery. So I have an empty trailer. I'm at a truck stop waiting to get dispatched. And north, south, east, west, and every kind of configuration you can think of is another tornado storm systems. This is like in 2011, I believe. And I finally get dispatched to go to the terminal in Dallas. And a couple of minutes before I even get there, on the Qualcomm, which is this computer on the inside dashboard of a truck that can communicate with dispatch and stuff, I get a message, don't arrive, just got wiped out by a tornado. Took all the trailers and tossed them around like they were dominoes.
How scared were you?
You get used to it, but I don't think people realize what the truckers have to go through that are driving coast to coast. Because the really scary thing is when you're just sitting there on your 10-hour break and you wake up and your truck is vibrating and you hear the wind and the hail, because you're vulnerable. You can't move anywhere.
On that trip, what were you carrying? What was your load?
I can't remember.
Because that could add to your sense of danger, depending on what you're carrying.
Right? Oh, yeah. If you're carrying hazmat, there have been people carrying 40,000 pounds of hairspray that had hit a bridge and blown up like a bomb. You have enough of it together.
Well, if that happened, my daughters would be very depressed. I have so much respect and so much appreciation for anybody who drives a truck for a living. I think it's the hardest job in the world. You guys are grossly underpaid. The cops harass you. The tolls you have to pay are insane. You and I think that with a car, with a four-wheeler, we pay high tolls. It's nothing compared to what these guys pay. Like on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, if you go to the length of Pennsylvania Turnpike in a car, you're going to pay $50, which is stupid. It's obscene. Those guys pay $1,000 in tolls to go across Pennsylvania. And there's nothing there. I mean, it isn't like, you know, there's something worth seeing. Coming up in just seconds, I have more weather information. I want to hear about your brush with the disaster. 888-688-WALT. These are the traumas that you and I can share, because I get to tell you my stories and you get to tell me yours. This is Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. For our next Florida story, we go to Pasco County, where a 46-year-old Florida man living with a roommate, you're going to see why he doesn't have a wife and kids with him, because he doesn't flush the toilet. Again, the roommate has to come in the backyard, say, hey, bro, whenever you drop a deuce, you got to flush the toilet. Well, 46-year-old Florida man grabs a machete out the backyard, starts swinging it at his roommate. How dare you tell me what to do? I'll do what I want. So, roommate calls the cops. Cops come. He gets arrested. They don't say whether or not he flushed, though.
Wait, Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go down to Port St. Lucie. 23-year-old Florida woman, 26-year-old Florida man. Doesn't say why they got in an argument, but they got in a big one. Started in the kitchen, escalated to the garage, and as he tried to walk out of the garage, she grabs two beers out of the cooler and smashes both of the beers upside his head as he's trying to walk away in what he calls a Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was a popular wrestler that retired about 15 years ago. But after smacking both of the beers upside his head at the same time like a pair of cymbals, he grabs her, restrains her, neighbors call the cops. When the cops show up, you see this guy on top of this girl. And so he warns them to stay away because he's been training in jiu-jitsu. Cops don't care. Three deputies and a couple cans of pepper spray later, they've got him on the ground. But that is one heck of a way to spend a Monday.
Hold my beer.
Finally on Florida Stories, we go down to Melbourne, where a Walmart employee was taking a little potty break, and someone knocks on the door of the ladies' room, and in a man voice, is anybody in there? Yeah, I'm in here, go away. But she was all alone in the bathroom, and that makes her an easy target for a flasher. So Florida man, 68 years old, gross, kicks the door open to her stall, has his junk hanging out, and so she smashes through him out the way like a fullback, and runs out of there, and then the Florida man runs off. He would have got away with it, but a week or so later, he comes back in and an employee recognizes him. And I bet there's a good chance that right now, Florida man is in jail flashing the jailers. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Do you know why so many businesses have been quick to adopt a all-gender bathroom? Why they all of a sudden are very happy to have a man-woman bathroom? Do you know why? It means that instead of two bathrooms, they only have one. And that means they only have to maintain and clean one. And they've sealed off the other one, and it says employees only. Fred in Atlanta on WSB, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. You and I are talking about our brush with natural disasters. Hi. Hi, Fred.
Hello?
Hello, Fred. You're on the air.
I am on the air. Well, I went get off the Hugo.
Get off the speaker.
I can't. I'm driving a truck.
Okay, get close to the mic.
Well, I went through Hugo in North Carolina and watched that tear out all the truck stops up there. Then with Andrew, I lived down in Pompano Beach, Florida. Let me tell you, not pleasant at all. Homestead was gone. South Kendall was gone. All you saw were roads in the, where the streets were, flat pads where the houses were, and nothing else there.
I think with Hurricane Andrew, Fred, that FEMA lied about the damage. I think the damage was far greater. There were far more people killed. Far fewer people rescued that should have been. Was that your impression, Fred?
Well, entire neighborhoods were all totally gone. I'd say there was a lot of people gone. Now, just the other day, I run from Atlanta, Georgia. I go up to Nashville. Saturday afternoon, I was with a convoy of electrical trucks that were headed south. And they joined up down in North Georgia with a bunch of FEMA trucks at the truck stop. And they were all headed south. So there's a lot of people going down there.
How many FEMA trucks do you think there were?
There was probably about five FEMA trucks and about maybe a dozen and a half of the electrical trucks.
Fred, you drive an 18-wheeler?
Pardon?
You drive an 18-wheeler, Fred?
Yes, sir, I do.
What's the best part of your job?
I don't have to put up with the boss bitching at me.
What's the worst part?
All the occasional breakdowns that really bone you.
Oh, man, when you break down with an 18-wheeler, that's a living hell. Thank you very much for the call. Like I say, you're driving a truck. You're on the interstate right now. It's just you and me. I'm alone with you in that cab. You're alone with me in the studio. This is the best time of day to be on the radio. This is the magic time to be on the radio because we have a special relationship. James in Georgia, Storm Survival. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT, 888-9258. Hi, James in Georgia. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Great.
Not a storm survivor. Not a storm survivor, an accident survivor. I got pinned against the back of a tractor trailer with a forklift in 2002. I've had three surgeries on my right shoulder due to it.
How are you doing?
Physically fine. Took a long time, but I'm fine now.
Tell me what happened exactly.
Couldn't get the trailer door closed. The company that I was unloading at came out with a forklift. We used the forklift to close the trailer door, and when he backed out with the forklift, he didn't take the turn out of the back wheel, so the right fork that was on the outside of the trailer ended up scraping against my right shoulder, pinned me against the trailer, and caused a bunch of internal damage that wasn't outwardly apparent.
Do you suffer from chronic pain?
Yeah.
Are you able to get your medication, or is it harder every month?
I
my stuff is over the counter. I'm down. I can't use opioids or anything like that, being a truck driver.
Oh, you're still driving?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
After three surgeries, multiple bouts of therapy, and complete, it wasn't a replacement, it was called, the final surgery they did was called a capsulary, where they take the musculature around the shoulder and wrap it around the socket so that it will stay in socket.
James, I really appreciate you listening to Sterling on Sunday and driving a truck and being back to work. Congratulations to you. You and I are talking about our brush with disaster. Our brush with disaster. For some reason, people don't talk about it. You go through a hurricane, a tornado, the incredible fires in Northern California, around Sacramento, north of Sacramento, and then, you know, we go about our day. But these are major life events, obviously. Well, let's talk about them. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is the best time to be on the radio. We're coming up to a three-day weekend. We're in the middle of a three-day weekend, a Labor Day weekend. And it's the end of summer officially, but as you know, it's going to be hot for another 2 months. And you and I get to be together late at night on a Sunday. To me, this is the greatest gift I could be given, because it's pure communication. I'm alone with you in the car, alone with you in the 18-wheeler, and you're alone with me in my studio. Oh, my studio is a laundry room. Yes, Westwood One that syndicates us has ponied up the money, and I'm broadcasting from a laundry room. Isn't that spectacular? You can see it right now if you go to Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. You can see the laundry room streaming video right now. It's spectacular. You've never seen stream. I don't know why Facebook doesn't censor it. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Meteorologist John Weatherby, the only weatherman on the radio on Sunday night with the latest on major Hurricane Dorian. Still pounding the northwest Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour winds, moving ever so slowly to the west at 5. Last position was dangerously close to the Atlantic coast of Florida. And even though we still don't know exactly where Dorian is going this week, it's too close and record-setting strong enough to risk the catastrophe. So, evacuations are happening now in Florida and South Carolina, other states, Georgia, North Carolina will be added. Coastal folks getting out of harm's way. And this threat is very serious, even without a landfalling hurricane. Forecast for dangerous storm surge inundating the beach communities and locally heavy rainfall with coastal flooding. The cone of uncertainty now covers 83 million people all the way up the coast to New Jersey. So action is being taken, and we continue to track the results, like total devastation earlier today with over 24 hours of hurricane pounding over the northwest Bahamas. And after this expected stall in the track is done, Dorian will move more quickly up the coast. We'll be watching and getting you the latest information. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
Anytime there's a hurricane or major disaster like this, it reminds you and me of the times that you and I have been in danger. We've been in the path of danger. And we don't talk about it enough. Instead, they bloviate at the Democrats. Let's scream at the Democrats. Right, Eric Ferguson? It's insane. No need for that. Donna, listening on WMAL, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very happy to talk to you.
Thank you. The reason I was calling is, I believe it was 7 years ago, last month, I survived the earthquake that we had in Mineral, Virginia, a little rural town in Virginia. It was a 4.2 earthquake that we survived. And the end of that week, we were going to Virginia Beach. And during the same week, we survived a hurricane in Virginia Beach.
So we two major events.
Two major events in 1 week.
Was anything of yours destroyed? Did you have property damage?
Yes, we did. During the earthquake, we lost several TVs that came off the wall, off the dressers. I'm a huge Redskin fan, and I lost a lot of my Redskin collectibles. Our refrigerator was literally 3 feet away from the wall, and things that were inside of the cabinets, like pots and pans, were no longer inside the cabinet. It was pretty incredible.
Were you scared?
Yes. Because I didn't know what it was. You know, we're not in an earthquake area, so it almost sounded like a jet, you know, was crashing or something. So it was scary not knowing what was going on.
How helpful were the insurance companies after the fact, or did they abandon you?
They weren't very helpful because we didn't have hurricane insurance. So, and no one did. And we at that time, we lived in a brick house, and the brick, like, shifted. We lost our chimney.
Whoa.
So they weren't very helpful at all. It actually was FEMA that ended up coming in and helping.
Thank you for the story, Donna. I appreciate you listening on WMAL. Thank you for calling 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. There is the famous Ellen listening on WPHT. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, good Lord. I wish you wouldn't have said that. This is trite. You know, it's just, you've got a fun and sexy show, and that's why I tune in. Sometimes I just stop and stare at the radio and turn it up louder. I think, what the heck was that? But, you know, I feel for all the people who are, you know, going through this. I've got friends down in Florida and North Carolina, and, you know.
But, oh, my God. Oh, look, you've upset the monkey. You've upset the monkey. The monkey is very sensitive to certain tones. I'm in a studio in the laundry room with a monkey, my kid's pet monkey. Certain tones set off the monkey. It's a music monkey. The only way I can shut it up is if, I mean, I'll try. I'll give it a banana and play the song.
Right now, we're going to feature the song that made it to number 87 by The Blades of Grass. Here is Happy on Flashback Favorites.
Now, everyone is excited. It's time for the secret Midnight Misfit decoder message. Listen and decode this on your Midnight Misfit decoder card.
All right, if you have a Midnight Misfit decoder card, here's the secret message tonight that you can decode on the decoder card. Here are the letters. B, T, N is in Nancy, K is in crackpot, 7, 9, 3. The secret letters this week, B, T, N, K, 7, 9, 3. If you're a Midnight Misfit, and you are, get your membership card. Then you can decode these amazing messages. What other radio show has secret messages? None.
Get your Midnight Misfit decoder card for free right now at the website waltermsterling.com and listen again for this mysterious music.
We've had so many new affiliates joining the fastest growing show in network radio. The fastest growing show in network radio. That sometimes I need to pause and explain things. Pause and explain things.
5 minutes left. Come on! 2 hours to go! Let's do this!
A couple years ago, there was this dreary, annoying feature out of public radio called The Serial. The Serial. And everybody was treating this as though some gift from radio. Well, these are commercial radio stations. My show is on commercial, actual radio stations where every single month Executives have to sweat, suffer, and order another drink because the Nielsen ratings have come out. Every month they suffer. And I'm like, you know, what is public radio? They don't have to have commercials. They don't have to get ratings. That would be what I did when I was 15 in my bedroom. I pretended to be on radio. It's a hobby. That's what public radio is, a hobby. This is commercial radio where we work very hard to entertain you. And we invented drama. These radio stations, WSB, WPHT, they invented radio drama. WLS invented radio drama. And I said, well, we can certainly do better than the serial. And I looked at the research, and there were three things that you and I want to hear at this time of night. We want to hear about sex, sports, and UFOs.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
We got so far in our survival kit.
Apples and cereal bars.
Super healthy. Well, at least we got the mango.
Yeah, it's survival 101. Muchas gracias. Let's go, boo.
Calm before the storm, because it's like super nice here. Well, not super nice. Yeah. It's like still raining, but...
Now go get coffee, because we can still, so
why
we're
not?
Gonna treat ourselves. Very soon? In like a few hours, or like...
Oh, that smells so good.
Yeah?
That's why I want you to make some coffee so you want me.
Okay.
In this way, the coffee is not just a coffee. Coffee is a healthy drink because all the oils and sugars pass through.
Starting to get windy. At least you get to have a really good coffee before goes down.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
I don't mean to bust your balls or anything, man. I really don't. I'm just concerned. Do you plan to get a job? Do you plan to look for a job? Do you plan to do anything in that regard, like fill out an application, perhaps?
I think one of the problems with me getting a job is the fact that my work experience directly lends itself to, you know, radio.
The most shocking thing about Sterling on Sunday is that our sound engineer, a gifted sound engineer, is actually attending Harvard. Not one of those goofy pretend MBA courses where an executive takes it for a month on campus and hangs out with co-eds. No, no, no. Real undergrad. He's an actual Harvard undergrad. I've been in radio all my life, since I was 15. Never have I met anybody in radio who went to Harvard. I can name two that did Harvard MBA, and one guy went to Brown. That's it. Those are the only Ivy Leaguers I have ever met, too. But we have a sound engineer, Matt DeSantis, who's a great sound engineer, and who helps put together the show every week, especially these amazing productions. And coming up in just seconds, you're going to hear a few of the lesbians in space that Matt has put together and that are his personal favorites. Because he's going back to school just to torture me. Just to freaking torture me. And now we have the new guy. We have the new guy. And the verdict's still out. We'll see what happens. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
Sounds like you're very sexual people. But your kids are gone, aren't they?
Yeah.
Time for something new. Let's see what you decided on. Come on, show me what you think is sexy.
They're for Jeff's mom, I thought.
Let's be real with one another, okay? No, this would be incredible on you.
Perfect. I'll take it.
You're not being fun, Karen. Why so nervous? Huh? Is this because we're two women trying on lingerie together? We're so alike, you and I. Two strong, sexually vibrant women. Come on, Kieran. I hear the way she talks about me when she thinks I'm not looking. Hating me for the way I look as if perfect bone structure and flawless skin is something I can help. That's why women like us need to stick together. Do you kegel? The strength has to start somewhere.
I don't.
In fact, I'm doing some right now.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who probably likes sports?
Hey guys, I get a lot of questions asking, how can I tell if a girl is gay? Well,
you don't wear a beanie in the summer for no reason, or a baseball tee when it's not baseball season. If you're checking nails in, they're always trimmed, or Case 2 is her style twin. She knows a little bit too much about the L word. She rolls her sleeves up when she's wearing pocket t-shirts, and when she compliments, you just feel confident, you know.
CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who probably likes sports?
Hello again, Sterling on Sunday Weather. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, the only weatherman on the radio on Sunday night with the latest on Major Hurricane Dorian. Still pounding the northwest Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour winds, moving ever so slowly to the west at 5. Last position was dangerously close to the Atlantic coast of Florida. And even though we still don't know exactly where Dorian is going this week, it's too close and record-setting strong enough to risk the catastrophe. So, evacuations are happening now in Florida and South Carolina, other states, Georgia, North Carolina will be added. Coastal folks getting out of harm's way. And this threat is very serious, even without a landfalling hurricane. Forecast for dangerous storm surge inundating the beach communities and locally heavy rainfall with coastal flooding. The cone of uncertainty now covers 83 million people all the way up the coast to New Jersey. So action is being taken and we continue to track the results, like total devastation earlier today with over 24 hours of hurricane pounding over the northwest Bahamas. And after this expected stall in the track is done, Dorian will move more quickly up the coast. We'll be watching and getting you the latest information. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Weather reports at 6 and 36 minutes past the hour all night on Sterling on Sunday.
All right. It's great to be with you at this time of day. This is the magic time of day to be on the radio, because at no other time of day do you hear things like this. You know, I have teenage children. And they, daughters, and they don't think anything I do is all right. They certainly don't think anything I do is funny. And if I start to sing, they'll say, you know, Dad, sing a different song. And then or they'll say, don't sing anything, Dad. Now imagine, Bruce Springsteen has a beautiful young daughter. You know that, right? She's like a horsewoman, accomplished, but you're Bruce Springsteen. And if you walk around the house, you probably sing. And now your daughter hears you singing Born to Run, humming it in the shower, singing it in the bathroom. And she goes, Dad, can't you sing a different song? Can't you sing a different song? And you're like Bruce Springsteen. You go, hey, you know, that is the song. Now, down the street in Jersey is Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi. And he also has a teenage daughter. John Bon Jovi's daughter is listening to him take a shower, watering the lawn, out and back in the pool. And she's looking at him like, oh, Dad, we're so sick of hearing that song. Isn't there another song? And he's like, no, you don't understand. This mansion, this pool. That song. Because, you know, them teenage daughters, no matter what, if you're the dad, it just doesn't do you any good. There's nothing you can do that's right.
When I saw Ariana Grande on the program, I thought that was a new something at Taco Bell. Oh
I have an email. Every email I get gets answered. It's WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. Right now, you can see the last dying moments of the laundry room. I don't know why Facebook hasn't censored this. Usually when there are breasts involved, they censor it. Usually if there are naked people involved, they censor it. It's odd to me that they've let this go on. Go to Walter M. Sterling on Facebook and you get to see the video streaming from the laundry room. There's no other show like this, is there? No. All the other shows are embarrassed to even think about doing things like this. Instead, they want to scream at the Democrats. But I'm so proud of what we did tonight. We had on John Weatherby, great meteorologist, terrific reporters from around the country, including Peter King from Orlando. The great Peter King from Orlando. It was spectacular. Thank you so much. Remember, the best gift we get is a request for help.
What did the coconut tree say to the hurricane? Wow, that was some blowjob.